In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our second Advent candle is the hope candle. How would you define hope? Hope is one of those concepts that while we all know intuitively what it is, we may find it hard to define precisely. As I began researching and writing this sermon, I had a lot of trouble distinguishing the difference between hope and faith. Faith, hope, and love are often together in the New Testament, as in 1 Corinthians 13:13, the conclusion of the Bible's famous love chapter. It reads, "Now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." We'll talk about love 2 weeks from now. Today, we'll see how hope and faith are closely tied together. So, using the lectionary readings assigned for this second Sunday of Advent, and taking from the Bible's store of general knowledge, let's get at what hope is and why it is so important to us Christians. As a starting point, let's define hope as the expectation of a favorable future outcome. Hope is looking forward to something good happening. As we go along, we'll support that and add to it as God's word gives us insight and shows us how to apply this to our lives. Consider Abraham, our ancestor in faith. God promised Abraham that he and Sarah would have a child in their old age and that that child would begin a great nation. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and God counted it to him as righteousness. Although, like every other human being, Abraham was a sinner, he had faith in God's promise. Through that faith, God justified Abraham. He looked at him as if he had never sinned and counted him as holy. Abraham believed. He had faith that God would do what he said and that he said what he would do. But he did not do it right away. So Abraham waited confidently and imagined that day when his son would be born and the great nation would begin. Abraham lived in hope. His hope came from his faith. Hope emerges from faith. Our psalm, Psalm 66, references another great example of hope, the Exodus. God's people lived as slaves in Egypt for 430 years. As the years turned into centuries, it must have been hard for one generation of slaves after another to keep their hope for freedom alive. When we think about hope, there is always implicit in it a note of endurance, perseverance, tenacity. The Israelites kept their hope, and they saw their crushing burdens turned into a blessing of abundance. God led them through the sea with unmoistened foot to the promised land. Hope draws its confidence from the mighty acts of God in the past like that. As we think about God's mighty acts in the Bible, think too of all that God has done for you personally. How many different directions could your life have taken, directions that would have put you on a far worse path? How many times could your life simply have ended by some happenstance? God has been guarding and guiding you. He has a plan, a purpose for you. Do you think that God would lead you astray? Do you think he's going to abandon you after all he's done for you? No way. You have every reason to be hopeful. The prophet Malachi adds another shade to hope's meaning. While hope anticipates a positive, pleasant outcome, sometimes it takes something much less than pleasant to make that hope a reality. The Lord's messenger Malachi proclaims the necessary judgment that precedes hope's fulfillment. The people of Malachi's era had turned away from God, much as so many people in our time have. He declared God's condemnation of the adult practices, the adulterers, the liars, and those who oppressed others. Before God's kingdom arrives in its fullness, evil must be rooted out. Justice must be done. We hope for that day too. That can be painful and messy, but so necessary. We see that theme especially in the preaching of John the Baptist. John talked about those who do evil. He compared them to unfruitful trees and the chaff of wheat that's destined to be burned. When we think about that, we should think not only about those who persistently, totally reject God, we should also think about our own sins, our own flaws, our own bad attitudes being purged from us. John gave concrete, practical instructions to the people about being fair, honest, even generous, how to live a God-pleasing life. And John also spoke of their greatest hope, the hope of the Messiah to come. In our epistle reading, John assured the Philippians that the good work that God started among them would be brought to completion. God fulfilled all the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament by sending his son Jesus to earth 2,000 years ago. Our faith tells us that our hopes will not be disappointed. One day, Jesus will return. Then the salvation we have hoped for will become our present reality. This is another subtle shaping to the meaning of hope. Hope ultimately points to Jesus' second advent, Christ's second coming. The good things we hope for and receive in this life are a preview of the life to come. Who would want to live without hope? Who would want to think that the conditions we are in will never improve? Who would want to live believing that after this life is through, there's only oblivion? For this next illustration, I turn to the store of general knowledge found in TV sitcoms. Remember the old Seinfeld TV series? George was complaining to Jerry about his inability to get a date and how he had almost had one. And Jerry said, "Oh, so there's still hope." And George says, "I don't want hope. Hope is killing me. My dream is to become hopeless. When you're hopeless, you just don't care. That's my only hope." I understand how someone might feel that way. It might seem easier to give up hope than to wait patiently for God to act. It's harder to believe in God than not to. It's easier to be a skeptic and a critic than to be a professing Christian. The existential philosophers say that life is absurd, existence is meaningless, and there is no God. I've always thought of myself as a kind of Christian existentialist. I would say that life may seem absurd and existence may seem meaningless, but when we take the leap of faith and we trust and hope in God, it will all make sense in the end. That's not blind faith. That's faith based on trustworthy eyewitness accounts of our crucified and risen Lord. I'm really not sure how to say this quite correctly, but that is confirmed in each of us when the Holy Spirit touches our spirit deep within us, leading us to faith and hope. We Christians live in a kind of spiritual twilight zone between already and not yet. We have faith that Christ has already defeated sin, death, and the devil by dying for our sins. We have faith that Christ is already risen and is open to us the way of eternal life. But we look around us and we see that we are not yet in heaven. We know that our joy is not yet complete. So we have faith that we are glory bound and we are confidently waiting for what is yet to be. That is the promise that God makes to us in our baptism and renews each week with word and the sacrament. Let us then remember our baptisms and hope in God's promises. God is faithful and he will not disappoint us. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.